Active Distractions, episode number 368. My name is Christopher Keough, and I'm here with Travis Baum. I gotta figure out how to talk today.
Popo!
And Jeff Chorney.
What up?
Internets.
And today we are talking about our halfway.
What are we talking about?
More than halfway.
What are our favorite games this year so far?
Do we like things? Are things worth
it? It's good to like things. In the world of negativity right now, it is good to like things.
Yeah, it's all about positivity here.
Exactly.
We say one bad thing, the show's over.
Fuck you, Travis.
So fuck your choices. Mine are the happy ones.
Before that, we'll do distractions and news, and then we'll take a break. And then afterwards, we'll do new releases. And we'll talk about next week. So
yeah,
that'll
sure.
do it. Before we do that, let's see what's going on. Jeff, what is up, dude?
Not too much. We just had a long weekend last weekend.
Didn't you just have like a long week?
Like every other weekend?
We haven't had a long weekend in a little bit. I was on vacation like a couple weeks ago, but it wasn't like, you know, this is an actual weekend, long weekend, like vacation from work. Not vacation, you know, just like, it's fucking holiday or some shit. I don't know what it's for. It's the 1st of August is always a holiday here, so you get either the Monday or usually the Monday off of that weekend. And I went to friend's place on the Saturday. They bought a new house, like pool and shit. Awesome, amazing. They had people over again for the second week in a row because we went there the week before that too. And Sunday I checked out Trainwreck. Pretty funny.
I heard that's a pretty dope movie.
It was all right. It was pretty good. I won't go into too much detail. It was like, I won't say I was disappointed because I did laugh, but it doesn't even touch my like top 10 comedies ever. Like it's still, Sarah Marshall is still bam, like just fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But it was funny. It was good. It's worth seeing. And I just kind of chilled. Me and Tony went to the Keg. Oh yeah. I mentioned the Keg before on the show, but it's a steakhouse. It's pretty cool. We love it there. Ate some lobster and some steak. And just kind of chilled out. And then we're recording on a Thursday tonight, not a Friday. Saturday, I'm going with, three of my buddies. We're going to go check out, Slipknot, with Lamb of God and Bullet for My Valentine.
There we go.
So,
cool. Do a little moshing.
We're not in general admission because we're too freaking old for that. And I'm pretty sure 10 minutes into like the opening band, I'll be like, oh, I gotta go home.
Yeah.
Or the hospital, one or the other. So
probably the hospital,
but we do have really good seats. We have like 10 rows back from general admission, so should be pretty good.
I do dig Lamb of God.
I am not too, like, I know of them, I've heard them, I've listened to them here and there, but I'm not so into them, so I'm kind of excited to see them. Like, both My Valentine, I definitely know, and of course.
Sure, not, sure. I mean, yeah, but Lamb of God's one of the few, like,
heavy
metal bands that are kind of, I guess, close to mainstream, like, All That Remains... type, you know, bands like that. Like, very, very few bands have some well-known songs, and Lamb of God is one of them. They have a few good songs. They've been played on the radio once or twice.
I'm freaking excited. I'm just like, it's been a while. Like, I saw Slipknot back in last November and loved it. And of course, when they came back, I heard they're coming back again. I'm like, I have to get tickets. And we can't wait. We're gonna make a day of it. The dudes are gonna come over to my place first. We're gonna play some video games and like pre-game a little bit. And then, you know, I'll jump on the public transportation and head on over.
There you go.
There, it starts at 6, and, you know, have, you know, enjoying the festivities there, and then probably grab an Uber on the way back, because we're not going to want to deal with
it. How many times have you seen Slipknot? Because I know, like,
this will be my second. I've only seen them once.
Okay, I feel like you've seen them so much more.
No, I've only seen them once, because I saw them, the first time was last November, but I was so excited, I talked about it a lot, but now I'm just really excited to see them again. In a way smaller venue.
Okay.
I wouldn't say way smaller, so pretty decent venue, but it's more of an outdoor venue. It's not like the Air Canada Center where I saw them the first time, which is like way more people, and we're way closer. So I'm excited for that. And that's about it.
Cool.
Travis.
Hi.
What have you been doing?
It's been a good week, man. Just continuing.
Shut up. Chris, what's up with you, bro?
No, just continuing the transition from old job to new job. It's going swimmingly. I'm pretty excited about it. Tomorrow's like the first full day that I'll be jumping in for a full, like a full in
like a
office
full day,
shift.
Like
so yeah, I'm really excited about that. It's a lot of opportunity, especially to grow.
You've officially reached level 1 on the new job.
Yay! Look at that. Da, 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 da.
No long.
No, it's I'm really excited about it. Tonight was a lot of fun. My old district manager, despite on how my tenure ended at GameStop, I have maintained a pretty solid relationship with my old district manager. He's checking out colors for paints.
What kind of wallpaper do you want? You want the blue? You want the gray? I don't know,
man,
what swatch?
You want that fuchsia. That fuchsia. So he swapped jobs. So he's working at a place called Teavana. It's a corporate retail, but they sell tea. It's owned by Starbucks.
Oh, I get it.
It's owned by Starbucks. It's all the rage.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot in Atlanta. But anyway, so he swapped jobs and they're opening up a new store in the Charleston area and he's assisting with the store opening. So he sent me a text a couple of days ago saying, "Hey man, I'm in Charleston for, you know, the week and the weekend. So how about we hang out?" So we went out to one of the local eateries here in the Charleston area and had a good time.
It's still 6,000 degrees there?
It's about 5,800 degrees. It's not too bad.
Okay, so it's actually pretty cool.
It's a little cooler, yeah. It's a treat. Today was actually some really bad weather. It's been like sunny, humid, and hot, like it was when you were here. But today we actually got a little rain. It was refreshing, quite refreshing actually.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And then I stopped one of my older jobs when I first moved here. I just transferred from Sonic to Sonic. Stopped by. Megan wanted a chocolate shake, so I was like, "Yeah, I'll stop at my old Sonic and get that." And saw a few people there that I haven't seen in a while. Some cool old work buddies. So it was kind of a night of reconnecting, albeit very briefly, but with some cool people, good friends. So it was a pretty satisfying
cool.
night.
It's always a good time.
And a lot of great Gamescom news, man. It's just been like video
it's been
game
a
news.
Busy week.
And what's great about it? This is what I love about places like conventions like Gamescom and Tokyo Game Show, is because with E3, you get that news as the day rolls on. And sometimes it's very inconvenient to get that news because you're working, so you have to stop what you're doing and then look. And it's kind of a pain in the ass. But with time zones, you wake up in the morning, you pop on your phone.
You see half that news already.
It's all there. It's ready for you because all the shit happens at like, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning. So when you wake up, it's there.
Yeah,
ready to read.
I usually
Travis,
book off.
You are
first.
Such an impatient bastard, man.
I know, but it's
insanely impatient.
I'm tired of waiting for more news.
I'm with Travis. Like, I usually book off the first day of E3, the conference day. So, like, usually like the Monday, like when it's like Microsoft, Sony, Ubisoft, EA, and whoever. And I was like, "Oh shit, there's gonna be the Microsoft conference on Gamescom on the Monday. What time is it?" I'm like, "Holy shit, it's at 10 a.m. my time. I don't have to go to work until like 12. So I'm like, "Sweet, I don't have to take the day off. I can just sit at home in my bed basically and watch it."
Instant gratification. That's what I'm all about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like I like E3 because everything is evenly spaced out. So when you get something excited, you have time to be excited about it, and then you can move on to something else. It's like with Gamescom, it's like we said, you wake up and there's a bunch of news and it's like there's too much. It's like, I don't know what to be excited about.
That's true. But then what you can do, Chris, you can just wake up fucking early and do it that way. And that's just,
That sounds pretty bad.
I'm not doing
early
that.
Anyway.
The guy's up till 2 a.m. playing Destiny and Rocket League. He's not going to wake up at 6 a.m.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
No, so. I wake up at 6:30 every day, dude, regardless of what time I'm up.
What time you go to bed?
Yeah. I don't go to bed that late, though. It's 1 o'clock at the latest, but.
How many hours a night? How many hours a night, Chris, do you estimate that you sleep?
I'm gonna guess 6.
To 6? 5 to 6.
Really? That much?
Yeah.
Because the latest I've seen him go to bed was like 12:30, and that was like late for him. One of the Rocket League nights, I was like, "Oh shit, he's up late."
Well, you haven't been around for Destiny. Every
night. Oh, well, that's true. Yeah.
Those are some late nights, Jeff.
Yeah, those were late nights. I've done that with Rocket League. I've hung around and played till 12:30, and I usually get 5 to 6 hours.
Sounds
catch
good.
It up to you by the weekend. Oh,
fuck yeah.
For sure. So, but that's it for me, man. It's been a pretty good week. Been pretty happy. So, Chris, what's up, man?
I have nothing to report. Work is really fucking busy.
It's a positive show. Stay positive.
The only thing I really have to report, and I'm just going to throw this out there to make you guys feel a little older. My son had his kindergarten orientation today.
Jesus.
So
it just felt like yesterday we're at Indus Fest.
I thought you were going to say like Indus he graduated high school.
You were announcing
I was going to jump off.
He graduated high school. Well, Indus Fest 1, we announced that Crystal that was pregnant. Was pregnant with him. So
God damn.
Yeah, Chris was all cocking a walk that night. He's like, "Yeah, man." Yeah, I did that. I just
see that guy over there. He put his something in me.
Yeah, I dropped my pants, and she was pregnant.
This is awkward.
Chris had sex twice.
Yeah, I know.
That's never happened.
But yeah, so he starts kindergarten next week. He's been doing swimming lessons too, so he's getting better at that. And he had his first sparring class the other day.
Oh, please tell me he punched someone in the nose.
No. He actually avoided the face. He was punching in the chest.
Body blows is what it's all about, man. Body blows. Well,
so he got a couple kicks off, a couple punches off. So we were pretty impressed that he didn't just kind of like sit back and take the punches, because we thought that he was going to be completely
pussy. Come on, Liam. Stop being a wuss.
He did pretty good. My daughter's freaking ready. It's like she's out there.
She's going to be the next, what's her face? Ronda Rousey.
You have no idea, man. You have no idea. She's so ready. She like when they do push-ups and sit-ups and stuff out on the mat, she's doing them like with them. On the floor and near the chairs. I mean, it's
she's next.
Ridiculous.
She's next to Liam doing one-handed push-ups. Like, what you got, bitch? What you got?
She
younger
does,
sister, son.
She does do better push-ups than he does.
I'm gonna kick your ass in 4 years.
But yeah, I mean, the sensei was he saw her like doing her thing, and he's like, they usually start at 3.5, and he's like, you know, she turns 3 next month, right? And you can bring her in and let her try it out at 3 if you want. So we're going to wait, though. We're going to give it, and we actually have a plan on how we're going to try it out. But yeah. She is going to start early, or we're going to try her early, but I'm not sure if she's going to start or not. We'll see how that works out. But
yeah, we don't want her to kick Liam's ass, right?
Oh, no, I can guarantee you she's going to be kicking Liam's ass. Right. She's already doing it. She's mean.
I hope Liam doesn't listen to this when he's like, you know, like 15. He's like, fuck dad.
Fucking Uncle Jeff. He was an asshole.
Seriously, she's mean though. Like she will grab his hair and just hold on to it until he is just like screaming at
oh God.
Oh man, she's really, really mean. But yeah, that's women for you. Sorry, women.
We're a progressive podcast. Is mean too.
She's really not. I love her. But that's it. Yeah. So let's move on to distractions.
Let's go first.
Actually, Jeff went first last week, right? So Travis is first.
I'll go first. It's really, really
I wasn't
quick.
There last week.
Yeah.
But yes,
he was
okay.
really
Travis
quick.
The last
first.
Time you were on
One would say Jeff got
Jeff,
through his distractions
what's distracting
the
this week? Crickets. All right,
let me
Travis,
do mine.
You're next.
I'll do mine first. It's really quick. I have been normal shit. A little bit of Destiny for Nightfalls. Rocket League is still rocking my world. I did do the tutorials, and now I understand the aerial hits. It makes sense now.
It's still hard.
No, I can totally do them now. No, I
can do the training ones where it's like the ball's like standing still.
In the game, it's like,
no,
yeah, once you get to the moving ones, it's
just,
like, damn.
You got
to
jump first. Just jump first.
You definitely have to jump
first. Just jump first. That's all you got to do. Jump first, and once you change your pitch, rock it up, and you're fine. It's fine. It's not that hard.
No, but it's...
I'll school your asses after we podcast. Let's hurry and finish this up, and I'll show you how good I am at it. So a lot of Rocket League. And then the only really new thing, I say new in air quotes, is I restarted Red Dead Redemption. Why not? There's just not much to play. Anticipating the new Madden and Metal Gear. So, there's so much to do, and I'm, like, freaking out, and I'll take this time to pause and take a little aside to say I don't know how I'm going to finish all these fucking games, because really think about it, Madden comes out end of August, Metal Gear September 1st, and then The Taken King is what, 18 days later? 15th. Is it the 15th or the 19th?
Nope, 15th.
Oh, Jesus Christ, 14 days to get as much Metal Gear done as possible, because once Destiny comes out, good luck playing anything else.
That's it.
So, especially
with some of the things they've announced.
Yeah, we may get to that later. Yep. Maybe. So
it's not in my news unless you wrote that shit down.
Oh, we'll bring it up.
Of course it's not in your news, Jeff.
We'll bring it up. Don't worry. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Red Dead Redemption. It's a pretty fucking great game still. Yeah, it shows its age. Mm-hmm. It's mid, you know, last generation, but it's plays really, really well. It's still pretty clutch little title. But that's it, Jeff.
I love the fact that you just like refer to Red Dead as a clutch little title.
Yeah, it's a little something.
just a little game.
Just beat it in a couple hours. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. You know, a little pastime, you know, yeah. In between the important games. You know? playing more Witcher 3, still going at that. Finished Game of Thrones episode 5. Finally, I beat that.
How was that for you?
I really liked it. I thought it was pretty solid.
It's the end,
holy shit.
It's one of the few Telltale titles where I want to have a second Multiple game series. Ready yeah. for the finale because it's interesting because this is the first time that Telltale, in my opinion, Telltale has ever have a player make a decision that truly redefines two different How paths for a game. It's the first time I've ever seen them do it, and I'm really excited.
Or they can cop out and make the last one just basically the same thing. They just substitute one character for a different character.
Yeah, the problem I would be really, really disappointed in that because these are two completely different characters.
Yeah.
Two completely different characters. So I'm very interested in how that will go. And
I want to talk to you on the break about who you picked versus who I picked.
We will have
even that. Even before that, you have a pretty big decision to make too when you find something out that's happening in one of the stories. Main houses.
I think I know what you're talking about.
I thought that was a harder decision than the last decision. The last decision was easy for me.
It was for me.
I would say
it was for me too. So I'm really like, interested to see what you.
Yeah,
who
we
got to
talk about this in the break because I really want to know what you did versus what I did. I played some Shadow Complex because that became backwards compatible on Xbox.
Oh, nice!
This week, so I was like, hey, Shadow Complex is all of a sudden on my library. I'm like, sweet, I'm gonna try that out. I really hope they make it too. I don't think it's happening.
No. Nope.
Yeah.
I played some Tembo, the badass elephant.
Okay, how was that?
That was, okay, so it had a trial. It's one of the few games this generation that actually had like a demo. So I'm like, I'll try it. I'm like, this is actually pretty cool. It was done by the guys who actually do like the Pokemon games and like, actually they do a lot of games, but they're the most famous games are the Pokemon games.
Okay.
But it's published by Sega and it plays a lot like if Donkey Kong Country and Sonic had a baby. That's kind of what it is. But you're a big elephant. That's pretty mobile and just fuck shit up. And it's just a puzzle platformer.
What do you mean fuck shit up? You just like battering ram?
Yeah, you just fucking barrage through shit and destroy shit. And there's like cool platforming, cool puzzles. And for the first little bit, I was like, this game is amazing. Holy crap. And then it got to the point, it does a thing where, which I don't like in this, and Rayman does this, but Rayman is, I would say overall a better game, but you know how Rayman does a thing where you have to find a certain amount of these things in a level, and then you have to have a certain amount of the lums to open up the next level.
Sure.
Or the next stage. This game does that too, but the problem is it doesn't tell you whether the ones you're collecting in the game are the ones you already have or not. So you'll go back to like, you'll be like, oh shit, I can't open up like World 2 until I get 350 of these things that you need to get. I have like 300.
Right.
So you go back to the four stages that you've done and there might be like, you know, 100 in each one or something like that. And you go through them, you're collecting them. You're like, oh shit. And you're seeing the numbers go up on your thing when you collect them. But the only ones that count at the end are the ones that you haven't got before.
Okay.
And that's kind of annoying. So I've been trying to open up World 2, going through the other levels and being like, okay, because there's multiple paths. Like each stage is designed to play through multiple times, and I just haven't got to stage two. And I haven't put a lot of time into it, so it's not like I'm sitting there being like I'm, you know, an idiot and just.
So even if you get them, the next time you go on the stage, they're there again.
Exactly.
That makes it really hard to know whether or not you have.
Exactly.
That's really horrible way to do collectibles.
Yep, because there's two kind of collectibles. They're the ones that you use to open up the levels, and there's also you can collect these prisoners, and they jump on the back of the elephant as you collect them, and they're worth a certain amount of these purple guys that you need to kill. But if you going through the level the same way you did before, you're not going to get any of the new purple dudes that you need to open up the next level. So that's kind of annoying, but it's fun. It's like you got these cool attacks. It's very much like Sonic meets Donkey Kong. It's got a demo, so I mean, try it. It's, I thought it was really cool. Like the night I played, I'm like, this game is actually like, might be like a hidden gem, like a sleeper. And then the next day I played it, and the day after I'm like, oh, I don't know, it's kind of annoying the way it does the progression stuff with the levels. But
so you need the collectibles to progress. Well, I mean, did they make it easy to get those collectibles and progress, or is it like just hard to get all of them? Or
I wouldn't say it's like hard. You just got to find different ways to beat the level so you get to the areas where you get these collectibles.
Do you end up playing
that you haven't got before
one level multiple times in order to progress?
Yes, you need to.
So it seemed like they were
after a while.
Yeah, right at the gate, they're trying to force multiple playthroughs.
As long as the gameplay is strong.
Oh, the gameplay is fun.
Gameplay is strong, you can probably survive that.
Yeah, I have some issues like with some of the control stuff. It's a little bit weird the way he controls, but it's not that bad. It's pretty good. It's one of the few games that I'd recommend playing with the analog stick over the D-pad. Well, then again, I'm playing Xbox One, and the Xbox One controller, as much as it's much better than the 360 D-pad, is still not amazing. So I'm playing it with the analog stick. Yeah. It's still, well, but also my analog stick's been acting kind of, not my analog stick, my D-pad, and my controller is acting kind of finicky. I realized this when I tried to play KI the other night, and I was like, hey, I just want to try out Rash, and I just kept trying to jump forward, and it wouldn't do it. And when I played KI first, I always used a pad because I didn't get my stick for like 2 months, and it was fine. So I think my D-pad is just acting weird on my shit anyway. But
sure.
Yeah, so I've been using the analog stick.
Who uses the D-pad anymore? Like
I do on 2D games.
For anything 2D games, for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Fuck that.
That's like the first thing I try.
No.
What are you, new, Travis? Come on.
That. No, I'm just not living in 1992 anymore. Fuck.
It's the best way to control 2D games, man.
Absolutely.
Especially with, like, precision. We'll get to that in a bit later. Actually, well, next. I might as well do that next. I'm playing Rare Replay.
Transition.
Oh, nice.
Okay. So I was surprised because I was not expecting great fanfare from the critics about this, but apparently it's really legit. Yeah.
It's, okay, this is where I sit on it because I wasn't going to get it. And then I read some early reviews, like, it's so good, like, yeah, you have to get it. So I'm like, oh, fuck it, it's $30 for 30 games, I might as well buy it. If I were to fast forward to the end of this book, it's me saying, I'm not sure it's just because I didn't have an N64, because none of the Super Nintendo games are in it, or what, but if you take all the games they've made, I'd say Rare is one of those overrated freaking developers ever, because I don't have the nostalgia.
They're extremely.
Yeah, well, I think they were overrated during the N64 days. They certainly aren't now.
I think it's fair to say they're extremely inconsistent. I think that's
fair. Yeah, I would say that because, like, I played GoldenEye. I played the Donkey Kong Country games, which none of those are on this because Nintendo owns the rights to all of them. KI, I wasn't a fan of. I've been like, the newest KI is by far the best KI, and Rare had nothing to do with that. What else did I play that was Rare? Okay, there's some good games. Like, a lot of the, like, they have, like, games going from, like, 1983 or, like, really old ass games that run, whatever.
Freaking RC Pro-Am.
RC Pro-Am is actually pretty fun.
That's a great game.
And that's a game you have to play with the D-pad. That game is hard as shit.
I can give you that, but that was also made in, like, 1987 or 88 or something.
That's the thing.
Oh, way before that. It's like 82.
If the analog stick worked, that would actually be better with the analog stick.
Now, I find it way easier to control with a D-pad because you can kind of like, because that game controls, there's no throw to the turning, if that makes sense. So you want to turn in increments, and that game is so based on the angle of your car going around turns.
Mm-hmm.
Analog, because that's such a big throw on it, you can oversteer so easily with the analog. With the D-pad, you just, you know, tap it.
So
tap,
is this, in the Rare Replay, is this the classic RC Pro-Am from like NES days?
Oh yeah, it's the Nintendo.
So what does it spell instead of Nintendo?
Oh, it spells Microsoft? Oh shit, Challenge? No, it's not Microsoft. I think it's like Challenge or something. It's not Nintendo.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is.
Because I know that was a big question mark. Like, what are they going to spell instead of Nintendo?
Yeah, and they change around a lot of the button layouts when they give you like the tutorials in the N64 games. It's not like they tell you like right analog stick and X A Y B. Like, it's not like they actually went in there and changed the text and stuff like that. The N64 stuff looks actually surprisingly really good because with the up-resing and everything, like, they can tell they actually did some work to how, like, especially the main characters look. But some of those games just don't, like, Jet Force Gemini, I thought that was supposed to be a good game, and I played it for like only 15 minutes to be like, this is awful.
Yeah.
Like, how did people control this back in the day? And I just, it's not, I don't know. I guess a nostalgia thing. I don't know, because I did not have an N64. I only played like Friend's Place and whatever. Like Perfect Dark was fine.
I would bet those pre-N64 games hold up better than the N64 games do.
Definitely. The problem with the pre-N64 games, there's no Super Nintendo stuff, because that was all shit licensed. Like, that was Nintendo right. stuff. So it's, you're going NES. And that's like, it's still good, but then you realize, holy shit, some of these NES games were not that good. Really hard to control. Actually, Cobra Triangle, that was actually pretty surprising. I was like, that's actually pretty fun. You're like a boat, and you're kind of racing.
That one kind of reminded me of Spy Hunter a little bit. But
It's a little bit like that. Yeah. Yeah. Surprisingly, one of the best looking games on the thing is Grab by the Ghoulies. It's the Xbox.
Oh, yeah.
Game
no, that's
made.
Fantastic.
That game, no.
Grab by the Ghoulies was my shit back in the day.
Really? Oh, man. I think it looks absolutely amazing. Like, the graphics hold up because the art style and how crisp it looks in
right.
like 1080p. But that game is boring as shit. Like, I was playing it for, I gave it a good 20 minutes just because it looked pretty cool. And I was like, this is not fun. And then Perfect Dark Zero, like the 360 launch game, that I was like,
all those
I played
games,
a share that
super
when it was
fun back
game.
Then.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you don't have a really big nostalgia for it, it's not going to just, I don't know. The presentation is amazing. As a package, it is top notch. Like, they put a lot of effort into it.
What, $30?
$30.
Yeah, that's killer. I mean, seeing that I spent $20 for 5 hours of The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, it's an amazing value.
It's a great value.
Did you play Conkers?
I did play Conkers. It's the N64 version of Conkers.
Okay.
Which the bad part, the good part of that is it's less censored. The bad part of that is it has the
it's the N64 version
voices, and it's the N64 exactly. The camera is awful, doesn't control like amazing. I'm gonna sound like such a fucking hater for Rare shit, but I said this in the podcast before. Like, I don't have a really deep past with Rare as like a developer. Like, besides the stuff that I played, like with friends and stuff like that, and I just don't think a lot of it really holds up. But as a package though, like it starts off with a really cool musical number that involves like all the games. They put a lot of work in the, there's a lot of behind the scenes videos, making of videos.
Right.
But y'all have to open that up by building, getting stamps in the game, by playing the games, whatever. The 360 games are, the 360 games are backwards compatible games. So when you launch them, you're technically going into the 360 emulator to play them. And then you can kind of go back to the Rare hub, but it kind of relaunches the Rare Replay game again. So it's not as fluid as when you're playing the games that are like N64 or Xbox behind, I guess.
Right.
Xbox, original Xbox. I'm having fun with it because if you have gamer ADD, it's the worst game in the world. Because you can just play games, like play a game for 10 minutes. Oh, shit, I want to play something else. And that's one of my problems. I can't stick to one game for longer than like 30 minutes.
But
I just
that's
can't
okay
fucking
in this
do
case,
it.
Because you just keep going
I tried to do it with Banjo-Kazooie because everyone's like, oh, we got to play Banjo. It's so good. It's one of the best platforms ever. Played it for like half an hour yesterday. I'm just like, really?
I could never get into that, Jeff. I'm with you 100%.
Oh, dude. I was like, I could never get into it.
Never
get into it. I couldn't do it, so I'm like, I don't know, and I'll try Banjo too. I was like, the same shit. Battletoads on NES, fuck that shit. That is like one of the worst games ever made. Like, I don't understand why people are obsessed with like this franchise, because I think it's awful.
I haven't played it in a long time. I'd love to go back and play it again.
Oh, dude, you think you want to. Then you'll try and like, this is bad. At least they added a rewind feature, though, so you can get by the bullshit levels. That like that speed bike level where you have to dodge everything. That basically 99% of the people that ever played Battletoads have never gotten past.
Fucking rage quit.
Yeah, so you can get past that easily now because you just, if you've died, you just rewind a little bit and you can dodge it, rewind a little bit, dodge it. And there's the Battletoads arcade games in there, which I didn't even know existed. That's slightly better. It's more or less like a Streets of Rage, like little brother that's trying to do what they're doing, but not quite. You know, it's like, hey, look at me, I can do the same thing. I'm pretty sure that game also came out like 4 years after Streets of Rage, which is really weird and dated. But, yeah.
But nothing beats Streets of Rage, so that's really all there is to it.
Well, exactly. Like, I can play Streets of Rage and be like, yeah, this is cool, but I don't know if that's because...
I am surprised at how well that game holds up. But
yeah, and I think it holds up well, but it could be my nostalgia. But then again, I have no problem going back and playing a game that I thought I loved and being like, ooh, I cannot play this game anymore. Yeah. Like, Golden Axe is one of them. Like, I cannot play through all of Golden Axe, but I can play through all of Streets of Rage. And they're similar gameplay types, styles. So, okay. Something's to be said there. That's it. I mean, for $30, go for it. I think anyone who's going to do like an ever again, like another collection package, should take a cue from Rare because they nailed the presentation and how everything is together out of the park.
Yeah.
But it's just, I just don't have that nostalgia for Rare.
Is there anything in there that you're going to continue to play?
Basically, whenever the next release game is that I'm going to be into, that's probably going to be the end of Rare, except for like maybe like 20 minutes here or there. There's no game. Oh, I actually, you know what? Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, just because Sask Bob, like dude VGEvo, he swears by that game. It's one of his favorite games ever. But the problem with that game is it's like Little Big Planet, whereas like the fun you get out of that game is building the vehicles, and I don't have the creativity for that shit.
Yeah.
So I told him I will try it. I will give it like, you know, the good college try, and see what happens. But I don't know. To me, it's more of just like I'm sure it'll be fun, like getting some of the, like there's all the couch co-op games and couch versus games are still that way on here. They're not online. Like Battletoads isn't online. What's it called? RC Pro-Am's not online, but you can play it couch co-op. I can see us messing around with that maybe this Saturday. Just kind of fucking around with them, like, hey, you know, this is like, let's play this dumb game. And then we're gonna playing like Towerfall or something that people actually want to play, like iDarb or fucking Rocket League. Actually, is Rocket League 4-player local? No, it's not.
Don't,
it's like 2, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, it's cool. I'm just probably the wrong person to really. It's not. I don't think it's marketed towards me per se because I did not really grow up with a Super Nintendo and N64, and the ones games that I really love playing on those consoles either aren't there, the Donkey Kong games. Oh, Killer Instinct Gold's on there, but that was an N64 game. And why would you ever play that when you have KI?
Yeah.
And GoldenEye. And, well, again, I will play Perfect Dark. Perfect Dark is on there, but it's a 360 version of Perfect Dark that I already owned. Like the HD remaster.
It's the one from the...
You would hate GoldenEye if you went back to it.
Oh, it's terrible. The control scheme. I mean, obviously you're playing on a different controller, but, I mean, it's not going to be your standard... You know, twin stick shooter, like you're.
No, well, God, no. Like, it would be. I mean, and the frame rate was god awful.
It was bad.
So, anyway, that's pretty much it. Those were like, that was like the big one. So.
All right.
Yeah. Chris.
I don't have much to add. I played Destiny for Nightfalls and then immediately switched over to Rocket League and played some Rocket League. So, yep. Rocket League is what it. Oh, man.
Really's good.
After
good
Nightfalls on Tuesday, it was Slugga, Ken. I think it was Robbie and myself, and we jumped on Rocket League and we decided to do 4-on-4 online, so it was four of us and then whoever we matched up with.
You just kicked ass, right?
Like oh my god! Like the first three teams we played, they quit after like 2 minutes because we had already scored like 3 or 4 goals. It was that's ridiculous.
Awesome. Yeah, quitting is an epidemic.
It's mostly Omer. I mean, Omer is freaking good.
So. They changed it on ranked, though. Now, if you quit on ranked,
you
can't play for 5 minutes.
Minutes.
Is it 15? Holy shit.
Yeah, you can't get back into a ranked match for another 15 minutes.
Yeah, so, that's awesome. Yeah. But then again, you can't play ranked matches with your team right now. So they're going to patch that in, apparently.
Yeah, it's weird. And they even warn you in the when you're in the main menus that, hey, if you're trying to play for ranked and get your score up, just know that later on in the month it will reset. So. Yeah. If people don't have a great eye for detail, know that all the ranked matches you're doing are for nothing. So get your practice in, because that's all you're doing.
That's right. Cool. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I haven't been playing anything else. So
alrighty then.
All right. We can move on to some news. I know that Jeff has a bunch, and then Travis and I will...
dish on Destiny.
Oh, God.
While Jeff goes and poops.
That's right.
I'll go take a giant Destiny and
wow, that was almost funny reference. Okay, go ahead.
It's a How I Met Your Mother reference. That's when you talk about okay, never mind. I thought Travis would get it.
I've forgotten that show.
After okay, the horrible finale.
Oh, terrible.
It's way before the finale. This is one of the
I know.
It doesn't matter. I won't go back and watch
it. Gone from your mind.
I won't go back and watch the best episode ever. It doesn't matter. There is no best episode. That show doesn't exist.
Oh, man.
How I Met Your Mother? Oh. Never seen
news.
It.
News.
All right. So Gamescom happened this week.
Whew, yes, a lot of meat in here.
We'll go through this pretty quickly. Okay. I think Microsoft and EA, I think, were the only people who had actual conferences on the Monday. So from the Microsoft conference, they announced that Gears Ultimate will get you all the Gears games on 360 that are backwards compatible for free.
Which Xbox is so pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's not like, you know, an actual remastered of them, but it's still pretty badass. They show more Quantum Break.
Which looks really good.
It looks fantastic.
So, I might be the only one, but I think I was intrigued by that before I even saw the gameplay trailer. Like, just the cast put together was enough for me to be interested in that game.
Because that came out of nowhere, because every other gameplay trailer they showed was, like, I guess, generic actors that they had.
Exactly.
They didn't have anybody else in there, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, I am down. That looks really good.
Yeah.
I'm still iffy on the whole cross, you know, game to TV show type deal.
I think that's going to end up being nothing but FMV cutscenes. So
it is. But Sam like said on an interview today or yesterday that they are going to be full, like 22-minute long episodes. So like if it would be like a half an hour show on TV.
Yeah.
Now, so a little bit more than cutscenes.
Did they break down like when you're going to need to watch these episodes?
They said it was going to be, the TV show or in-game TV show is going to be based on the villains, and then what you're playing is based on the hero. So you basically do like a chapter of like the game, and then it'll do like, and what you do in the game will have an effect on what happens in the TV show.
Okay.
So they've actually done like different cuts, different storylines, but so it's kind of like a branching
now,
thing.
Now, to be fair, Defiance was supposed to be the same way, and it never happened, so.
That was all, yeah. That was also wasn't in game, though. So this, the difference is this one's in game, so they can like program that, all that shit, so.
Yeah, the Defiance is a little bit different of a situation, but.
Yeah, that was like more of like a game.
They would have like downloadable missions that were based off of
But originally they did say that things that happen in the game will steer the direction of the show, and it's really never done that.
Yeah, no, it hasn't.
No, but the difference here is it's all on the disc, so it's going to be all basically like you did this choice A, and this is what's going to happen in the episode.
Yeah, and if they film like different scenes, like okay, this is a scene, but we're going to film two different versions of the scene.
That's exactly
what. Yeah, that makes sense. Sure. But I'd like to see it in application. If it works well, if both mediums gel within each other, I'm all for it. But I'm more hype about the game itself than the swapping of the
The one thing that would concern me about that is how they determine which clip is going to play. Like, that's something that you need to determine ahead of time before anything even starts playing, because if there has to be like a decision made in the middle of playing the video, there might be some hitching to the video. So that would worry me a little bit.
No, it won't be in that. It'll just be like whatever decision you make during the game you're playing, like the actual gameplay part, that'll depend on what episode it loads up for when you're watching the TV show.
Right.
So it's not doing it as you're watching it.
Yeah.
I understand, but what I'm getting at is there's going to be different scenes for each like show, let's call it, like how are they going to put the scenes together, because the scenes are going to be dynamic based on what you've done in the game. So as long as the you know which scenes are going to play is decided beforehand, and it doesn't have to, you know, it doesn't have to queue it up in the middle. So it all seems together really well.
I have a feeling it'll be like one or two decisions at most, and they'll basically have like 2 to 4 versions of that episode, and they just know. They'll be like, all right, you did this, that, and that's it. I don't think it's going to be like a Walking Dead type thing.
Right.
Like, what was the other game that it did that where it was like took a while? And like, I don't think it'll be like that. I think it'll be like maybe one decision that'll actually influence the TV show. So it's basically picking with episode 1A or episode 1B.
Right.
And then go from there.
So this is kind of my question, and this simply stems from the profession that I'm in, and I'm sure Jason can attest to it. But seeing the standards of video games, how now everything is, you know, you have a choice for every game now. You can get the digital version or you can get the disc-based version. My question is, if you choose to go the digital route with this game, how big is that game? Because not only are you having this really, really, you know, it seems to be a pretty, like maybe, I guess, say like a 10-hour game.
Probably usually the give or, remedies
give,
around there.
Give or take yeah. 10, give or 10 take to 12 hours. Yeah. So you're looking at that. That's already like a, what, a 20, 24 gig download. But if you're going to have, you know, say there's roughly six chapters in a game, you're going to have six mini 22 minute movies, but you have different versions of those movies. How big is that download file going to be? Because video takes
79 gigs.
It's going to be a pretty sizable download. So I'm actually pretty curious about that. Because even though, I mean, this week we have a new 2 terabyte version of the Xbox One coming out. That's still taking out a pretty decent chunk for one game. That's just something I was just really curious about.
I think
it all
fits on one Blu-ray.
I was going to say, a Blu-ray movie is what,
150?
How many gigs? Oh, it's 50 gigs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's like an hour. You can put like a two-hour movie on there. This is
Can they dual-layer that bad boy did?
Yeah, they can dual-layer them.
Yeah, they can dual-layer them. Okay,
so 100.
At the most, the game would be like 100
gigs. No. A Blu-ray is 50 gigs, 25 gigs per layer.
Okay, so it's already dual layered. Okay.
Yeah.
And they were working on a prototype quadruple layer. I don't know if that ever happened.
Okay. Hey, guys, it's our first multi-disc Blu-ray game coming at you soon on Xbox One. Xbox One.
I don't know how that's going to work.
But. Yeah, that's crazy to me.
Anyway, it's coming out April 5th next year, so they finally put a date on it. Second game they showed was Crackdown 3. It's going to be really summer of next year. That looks awesome. The destructiveness in that game.
They
looks
did
absolutely ridiculous.
The last time we saw something like this was last gen with Red Faction Guerrilla. That was the last time we saw anything like remotely
even
similar
close to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but those are just in multiplayer, right? The destructible environments.
Well, yeah, they've said that the video that showed that's multiplayer, but it's still going to be the same destructibility in the single player. But it'll probably just, people are thinking that it's going to regenerate the building. So you can't have an entire building be crumpled and have there, like, be a story thing that's supposed to happen there later.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll still be there, but it's not going to be permanent.
Right.
So it's still going to be doing that same thing. It's just going to be like, okay, well, more of like, hey, you can do all this cool shit. But
so you need to release all suspicion of disbelief because
exactly because the building
might
be there.
If you destroy something, next mission is going to be there. I question that. Like it's kind of weird to go that route.
It's like how Just Cause works and like a bunch of those games. Mm-hmm.
Earth Defense Force.
All work. Yeah, exactly.
So did any of you guys watch specifically IGN's coverage, their 15-minute video.
They put on like 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So basically what they wanted to show off in this demo was the processing power of the Microsoft Cloud service.
Well, they keep saying that, but I'll, you know, leave it when I see it.
You actually get to see it in application, which is really interesting. So in this 15-minute video, they set up debug mode. So while the mass destruction was going on, they set up a kind of like in the UI, this graph on the left side of the screen showing, you know, there was one icon with a progress bar next to it that showed the Xbox symbol showing that this is what the Xbox is processing right
by
now by itself. And then they would show, a number one and then a picture of a cloud and a progress bar. And as minor destruction was going on, obviously the Xbox bar is totally filled up because the Xbox is processing as much as it possibly can.
Yeah.
And then you, as destruction was happening, you saw the progress bar on the cloud slowly jumping up more and more and more. As more processing power was being used or needed, you saw at level 2 and then a level 3 and a level 4. They got up to level 11 cloud servers at once. So you actually got to see it in application, the servers being used and how much power is needed for what amount of destruction
was going
on. I guess
maybe that's also why they're doing it mostly on multiplayer.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because everyone would have to be online anyway.
Also you have to remember that during this debug mode, they even made it a point to mention that, okay, it's in debug mode. They have taken even these, you know, assault rifles, they maxed them up to the power of rocket launchers. Massive damage at all times. So they're showing you max weapon power for even the slightest weapons. I mean, they technically could have pistols that could take down a skyscraper if they wanted to.
Of course.
So they were kind of showing. So when you're playing the game, once it's, you know, at retail and showing, you're not going to have as much power as they were using then, needing that much cloud server. But they were showing that you could just, you know, push and push and push and push these multiple servers. And It actually
so
worked.
Was frame rate taking a hit at all or not?
Not at all. Not 1 second. So. And that's what the impressive part about the demo was. So I highly recommend to you guys, listeners that are out there, really check it out. It's an interesting video. It's 15 minutes, and it's really worth a look to see kind of the direction the cloud service would go. Because that's something that Microsoft has been talking about for quite some time.
But they haven't shown
it. We haven't seen anything. And seeing it actually in application and seeing the progress of these servers working together – really, really impressive. I was kind of surprised by that. So.
I just hope the game is good because I just hope it's not Crackdown 2. I hope it's more Crackdown 1 than 2.
It is probably going to be more Crackdown 1, but I mean, that destruction.
I mean, it looks good. Like, it looks very impressive.
Yeah, and it looks like it's going to turn into more of a multiplayer only title, which I guess
I think so. Too.
You know, that's okay with me. If you can get, three or four people.
They showed six or seven people.
I believe, around demo. Six or seven people on one screen is what they were showing in the demo because everybody had rocket launchers and was just laying waste to the city. It was crazy. But it's interesting because they explained how every single building, you know, since this. Everything had to have its own rooms, its own environments on the inside and the outside. Everything's held up by actual steel struts. They implemented
digital steel
struts. they had to.
You're tearing down real buildings.
they put into application.
Play the comfortability of your own home, or you're fucking up Dubai.
they put in application that these buildings have electrical systems and gas. Systems that go from the ground up. So if you hit the right spot in the building from the bottom, it'll ignite the gas and explode multiple layers from the ground up. It's really impressive, man. It's probably the most, in terms of tech, it's the most gratifying thing you'll see from Gamescom, I think.
I'll have to watch the IGN one. Because I was pretty impressed by when they showed it on the stage, but it wasn't long enough.
Oh, just short. Just wait. The behind closed doors video is great. It's pretty phenomenal.
Cool.
Yeah.
So they said it's coming out summer next year. They didn't give a date, but they said summer. So that's kind of cool. Then they showed Scalebound, which is a game that I was really looking forward to. It's Platinum. They got a dragon and you're a dude and you fight shit Platinum style.
It looks pretty cool, man. You're issuing commands. Co-op, right?
The thing was the fourth player co-op was like the reveal at the end.
Right. But issuing commands to your dragon and everything while you're also doing your combat is seems pretty gratifying. So hopefully it turns
very,
out
very like pre-alpha type shit.
Very pre-alpha.
It looked good. I'm hoping it all comes together. I'm kind of getting a bit worried because it sounds to me like it's going a little bit too RPG for my liking. I think I have like weapon durability. And like, you gotta, kind of micromanage your dragon, like fit him with like armor and level him up and same thing with your character. But if it's that kind of like a basic like Diablo or like, I compared it to, Phantasy Star Online. Like, it's like,
really?
That's what it looked like. Yeah. Well, of course you don't have a companion in Phantasy Star Online. But in terms of like what you can get, like there's,
you've got your mag. That counts.
I guess, the dragon's a really big fucking mag. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's going to get delayed. I don't think that's coming out next year, but we'll save that for a prediction show. I thought it looked cool. I was like, all right, cool. They only showed a CG trailer last year and I was like, all right, we saw some gameplay. The gameplay had really bad frame rate issues at times, but
Is that multi-platform or is that going to be?
That's just Xbox.
That's just Xbox. Exclusive. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So Kamiya was on stage and showed that shit off, and he's like, this is the game we wanted to make for a long time, but they all say that no matter what the fuck game is. That's what everyone says. So I'm looking forward to it. I don't know, like, did you see that yet, Chris? The video for that?
I didn't. I need to, though.
Because I think that's, like, right up your fucking...
You're a dragon, like, dude, man. I think you'll dig this game.
I know.
It's
like, you're gonna get a PSO vibe, you're gonna get a Monster Hunter vibe, you're gonna get, like,
a dragon vibe.
You're gonna get it's like if those games were mashed together but had Platinum style combat, which is amazing. So, looks pretty cool. Quickly, let's run down the rest of these. These ones aren't really, discussion based. From now going forward, every single games with gold 360 game is going to be backwards compatible. So basically, if you have an Xbox One, you're going to get the 360 games on the Xbox One as well. Four games. So that's pretty cool. Phil Spencer said in an interview that they're trying to get PC to Xbox One streaming going. Because right now you can do Xbox One to PC, but not vice versa. I'm guessing they might run into some problems because that basically makes an Xbox One kind of like a Steam box. Not a Steam box, because it's not going to be running the games natively. I can see they can, you know.
What's the, what do they call it? The Shield. The NVIDIA Shield.
Yeah, that's exactly, yeah, exactly. That kind of thing going. So, nothing's in, because we had a quick talk on Facebook about Street Fighter V being on Xbox One if you did that, but to me it doesn't make sense because A, there would be input lag regardless of how good the connection is. There's, you know, if you're playing a fighting game, you don't want any input lag other than what's online. And secondly, if you already have it on your PC, just play it natively. But I guess it would be cool with some games. I've already said many times, I'm not into streaming games. That's not my thing. If I can play it natively, I'm going to play it natively.
Yeah, I'm the same way. It's like Vita Remote Play, I almost never use it. It's one of those things where, I think that the most I've ever used it is I used it to, I'll boot up Destiny and pre-pick up my bounties before we do Nightfall on Tuesday.
Oh, before you actually go into the game. Yeah, exactly.
That kind of thing. Yeah. Switch around inventory. And like when House of Wolves came out, we all had like a shit ton of engrams because they were already dropping, expansion to engrams. So I booted up on Vita and turned all those in and things like that. And that is literally
just stuff
it.
You can do really quick. Yeah, yeah. I've never really played a game on it.
Yeah. And the only games that you could probably play that you could probably get away with playing without it being like noticeably bad is like an RPG or something like that. Like a turn-based
RPG. Something
that's
a little bit slower movie.
Right.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, you played BlazBlue and you said it was fine on PS Now.
That was on PS Now. PS Now, I don't know what they did. But that shit worked for me. I don't know what they did, but it worked. There was significantly less input lag than the remote play on Vita. That's for sure.
Yeah, I didn't try BlazBlue, but it would definitely be faster than that since it would be local. But I still wouldn't be
right.
I still would never play it on there if I had the option not to.
Yeah, I mean,
but
if you already have it on PC, there's not really much of a reason.
That's what I mean. Yeah, exactly. They showed Tomb Raider, more Tomb Raider. I liked it. It looks awesome. I just didn't like the fact that they just basically showed a part where she's just killing everybody and their grandmother within like a tomb, which I'm sure showing a tomb wouldn't be the best thing to watch, but hey, it looked awesome. There you go. Killer Instinct Season 3 was announced. They're previewing it right now because they added Rash from Battletoads to Killer Instinct, so you can play as him now in Killer Instinct till August 9th, I think.
He looks weird.
He looks like a Battletoad.
But that's the thing. It's like, so I applaud them for doing this. I think it's interesting and that, all that kind of thing. But it really seems like he fits more. He looks like he's from Clay Fighter.
Because his feet get really big.
The texture of what he looks like, he doesn't look like he belongs in KI. He looks a little bit too cartoony.
Yeah, and they do the thing where like he kicks and his foot gets like really big and everything like really, that. Yeah. They do like the Battletoads animations and stuff. Yeah. So.
But he's not finished. He's only like a preview. So like, hey, here you go. Try him out for like a week and a half. I tried him out. I was like, cool. And then moved on with my life.
there you go.
They showed Dark Souls 3, which looked fucking awesome. I want to see more of that. Read up on more of that. It was like the first gameplay, I guess, reveal. And their big reveal of the day or morning was Halo Wars 2. Sure. I mean,
yeah, it's a thing. It's coming.
Why not? I mean, I guess
there's got to be someone who wants it. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it sold pretty well. It's like 2.6 million.
Well, Halo Wars
they
advertise it as for people who just wanted a Halo game because there were a lot. I distinctly remember internet comments saying like, what the fuck is this? I thought this was Halo.
Oh, because like, a lot of people bought that thinking it was a Halo game.
Exactly.
And they're like, holy shit, what the hell is this?
So
like, RTS bullshit.
But at the end of the day, for console RTS, it wasn't a terrible game.
No, it got really good reviews.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so it's not.
I didn't beat it, but I have it.
They were like two really, really strong console RTSs, and it was the Lord of the Rings game and Halo Wars.
Yeah, pretty much.
That was pretty much it.
I forgot about Lord of the Rings, and holy shit, that was like really early last gen.
Pretty damn good RTS on the console. It's not too bad.
Another piece of news. This is separate from the conference, but Ori and the Blind Forest is getting the definitive edition release this year. I guess in the fall it's going to be Ori, and they're adding an expansion to it, plus some extra stuff.
Okay.
So that's cool. If you haven't played Ori yet, you fucking suck. And if you fucking suck, just make yourself better and play that game. It's really good. It's on PC or Xbox One. EA did a thing. The only things that I wrote down that were kind of notable, they showed like 5 minutes of Mirror's Edge gameplay.
Which looked good.
Which looked really good.
Yeah.
Looked really good. I think that's coming out next. That's 2016.
It looks
as well.
Faster. It definitely looks
more smooth and faster.
Especially when the combat happens. It seems like you go from combat, like character to character or enemy to enemy combat a lot faster, which is,
yeah, totally.
Which is really, really good because, you know, they all have guns and you don't. So that's kind of a welcome addition to the game. So it looks fluid as hell too. So I think that it's.
Yeah, it looks really.
Yeah, good. It looks really good.
The only thing I got from it was with the guy playing it, like the thing with Mirror's Edge, the first one, it does a really good job of showing you where you need to go with the red. And a lot of areas in this demo didn't have that. I'm like, how the hell did he even know to go
right
there? So I'm kind of hoping they do something.
Lots of practice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They
showed
this
stage 100 times.
Yep. Got this down pat. Battlefront, they showed that. They showed the fighter squadron mode.
Yeah,
which
that
is pretty
looks
cool.
Good.
It's like a dogfighting mode. It looks pretty badass.
Yeah, it looks pretty great.
Your TIE fighters, your
Millennium Falcon.
Millennium Falcon going through there.
A-Wings, I was impressed that they showed off some of that. That was really cool.
That looks cool. It's probably going to be, they haven't announced it's fully going to be there at launch, an actual specific mode for that, but it is going to be in the game.
What I was happy about with that game was that, you know, in, I don't think it was mentioned in the conference itself. I think it was some interviews that were after the fact. But, I mean, they mentioned, they wanted to stress that this is not a Battlefield game. This is not Star Wars Battlefield.
No, they want to separate it from, it's like, it's not Battlefield with the skin.
Yeah, it has its own modes.
Even though it
kind of
is.
It's easy to say
that.
It's easy to say that, but it's going to have its own modes, its own gameplay style. It's going to feel different. So that was a welcome comment for me because I like Battlefield quite a bit. It's fun, but when you play with, you know, like-minded friends in the same squad. But it seems like, you know, if they're going to go a different route with this, change the way the game feels and plays, it could be a game that, you know, if all your friends aren't online, it could be still fun to jump in and, you know, have a good time with. So, hopefully they kind of, what they're saying is, you know, hold some weight. Because I'd like to see that. I mean, that game is definitely a day one for me now. I was kind of on the fence, but after the trailers, the dogfighting, I'm kind of ready for this game to fucking be out already. I really want it.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
It really does.
They also showed Mafia 3. That was like a big
super
thing.
Excited about Mafia 3.
I never played either of the other two, but this one looks kind of cool. Open world.
Well, and it's open world, but they kind of took it to a different level. Like in Mafia 2, they had a situation where when you're trying to take control of the streets and everything, you would go from small business to small business, and you would actually have to physically speak to each proprietor and sometimes, you know, using force, find ways to interrogate them, push their buttons to get them to pay protection, to
like
expand
every
your
month?
Well,
that sounds
at
awful.
Least once to get, you know, to get your influence to, you know, spread more and more. So they do some really, really novel things in a Mafia series. So hopefully they expand upon that. And being a Louisiana guy, I'm super excited to see something that takes place in, you know, 1960s, 1970s,
New Orleans.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really, really cool to see, a city that I come from originally and playing it in like a 1960s version. I'm really excited for that. I think it's going to be cool. So
cool. The last one. Totally not related to Gamescom whatsoever, but Mighty No. 9 has been delayed. It's been delayed.
Don't worry. I said New Orleans.
You're delayed.
I feel bad. So
New Orleans. So, yeah. So, yeah. That's coming out next year now instead of this year. Who earns? That's it.
That's news.
You guys have any extra stuff? We guys want to talk about some
Metal
Destiny
Gear
stuff. So, I'm going to go.
Real quick. Metal Gear had a pretty decent showing.
They had a new trailer, yeah.
Well, no, aside from the trailer, there was a gameplay demo that kind of showcased a lot of cool things. Nothing that I'm specifically interested in, but I'm sure there's some listeners out there that would be interested in this. But there's some cool multiplayer aspects that go beyond Metal Gear Online, which did get delayed, by the way. So, you know, everybody knows that they're taking a lot of things from Peace Walker, whereas you have your home base, you can recruit guys, you can recruit equipment, weapons, animals, and expand your mother base. In you know, all that stuff from Peace Walker will be transferred into and expanded upon in Metal Gear Solid 5. But the cool thing about it was that they have this system in place where not only do you have your mother base, but you can also have these forward operating bases and spread those, you know, across, you know, across the globe, basically. And if you take part in these, you will, you know, research items faster, you will get resources quicker. So there's a lot more benefits to having these forward operating bases. But once you start these FOBs, which are completely optional, by the way, if you want a true single player experience, you do not have to take part in it, but there are benefits by doing it. But if you do it, it's interesting because that opens up a multiplayer option to where, a la Dark Souls, I guess, you can have other real-life players invade your base and try to take it over, try to take some of your resources, some of your people, soldiers, scientists, you know, etc. And then you, even if you're in the middle of a mission, if someone invades one of your forward operating bases, you can stop your mission, save it, and get in a situation where you take one of your characters and try to intercept this guy on one of your bases and stop him for, you know, trying to take, or you can have the, you know, the computer to do it, you know, itself if you want, only if you've taken the time to upgrade your security, your personnel on that base. If you feel confident that you've upgraded it enough to stop the guy, he'll get stopped. But at, you know, if you continue on playing your single player game, you have to know that there is a real life person invading your base at that time. So they added some really cool features there for people who dig that. It's there and it's really, really neat. For me, it's for Metal Gear, I want a single player experience. I want to really
I won't mess with that very
much. It's very, very cool that that's an option for people who do want to take part in that. It's something that I haven't really seen before. Which is kind of neat, but I will say I was very, very happy amidst all the Konami shit that is going around right now about how their employees are being mistreated and stuff like that. And then obviously everybody knows about the Kojima stuff that's going around, how he's being completely removed from the equation in Konami up into and including Metal Gear itself. It was cool that, even though they kind of like flashed it for maybe like a half a second, they did put the Kojima Productions logo on that latest trailer. So it does seem that, okay, we're not going to fully embrace it, but we are going to give Kojima his credit for what he's done for this game. So I don't know, right? Like,
shit that they are even, you know,
I just don't get it. I don't understand why they're there's got to be some internal stuff obviously going on there.
Kojima was pretty much single-handedly keeping them relevant at this point.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. So
it's frustrating what they're doing, what they're attempting to do.
Mm-hmm. So, but other than that, man, the
Taken King
is
a thing.
It's got me excited.
And we have to keep our excitement in check, though, because we were excited about House of Wolves, too. And, yeah, we didn't play that for as long as we expected. But, this really does look like they're putting a lot of effort into it, making some good changes to the overall game itself.
Yeah.
Like, even the core stuff that's been there for a year, like getting rid of Dinklage and adding in Nolan North.
Yeah, so that's
will be interesting.
That's the first start. So, yeah, Dinklage will be completely replaced with Nolan North. Not just with the new content, but if you start a new game at level one, Nolan North is going to be there. Like, redid all lines. They even mentioned that the new lines have already been recorded and are ready to go. So that's interesting. That is interesting. The next big change would be, the leveling up system. You know, so long are the days of trying to find the gear or upgrading your gear to get the light level, to get to level, you know, the max level of 34 where it's at right now. We are reverting back to a strictly experience-based system. So whether or not we, you know, as of right now, we drop back to level 20 and we have to earn those experience points back.
No, so what they said was that one character will automatically be leveled up to the point where they can take part in the Taken King.
Okay, so 34. So one character, how do they know to discern what character is level 34? Because
I think you choose, because you have to actually physically. From what I understand, it's like it's part of the story. Like all of a sudden becoming. Having the ability to get to level 40, there's a piece of the they've actually worked it into the narrative.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Interesting.
We'll see. I have no idea.
We'll see. But yeah.
I'm more excited about what they said about the loot system, where they're going to actually work on deciding, or like tracking what you have before they give you your exotics. Because and after all, I've gotten 7 Galahorns and 9 Patience of Time, and I still don't have a fucking Hawkmoon.
It's no longer shit. Yeah.
But the loot system is no longer shit. So, but yeah, it sounds like they're making a lot of good adjustments to the game. But again, I'm keeping my excitement in check because I want to see what they did. I want to see, you know, they're talking about this is the biggest raid that we've made. It's like, you've only made 2, first of all, and second of all, you know,
yeah. Keep my shit in check. Don't toot your own horn, Bungie.
Yeah, right.
This is the best Affordable Care Act we have ever made. Well, it's the only Affordable Care Act you've ever made, really. So,
but it's one of those things where I am excited, and I know that I'm going to be playing it day one. But I am keeping my expectations in check at this point because I don't want to be disappointed. So
yeah. But I mean everything. I mean weapons, armor. I mean we're looking at almost double the amount of weapons from vanilla Destiny to kick off with, not including any future expansions. So that's really welcome. You know, there's a lot of cool things that they're instituting as, you know, each weapon manufacturer is going to kind of play its part, which is interesting. So there's going to be more of a focus on that. I don't know what that means for the game, but there is more of a focus on the different manufacturers. So, I mean, if it means more factions or anything like that, that's yet to be seen. But, I mean, all the changes that they have mentioned about making seem pretty positive. Yeah. It seems like all in a step in the right direction in the evolution of the game. And
I'm still a little frustrated that after a year, what we're getting is basically one new map as far as like single player experience. So we're getting one new area, and it's the Dreadnought, and that's it. And it's like, you know, why couldn't you guys have put together more of this shit? I mean, it's like they have the ability to have a really, really strong game, and they just have been misfiring on the content, in my opinion.
We don't know the size of the Hive ship yet. They keep on stressing, and it's almost ad nauseum that they keep on stressing how massive this ship is. So if it's big enough to house a fully explorable area that houses all the new bounties,
yeah, it's going to be
public
like
events.
As long as it's different environments,
it's going to be a different environment, and it's going to be about, you know, it's going to be almost like a new planet, basically.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though. Like, I don't care how big that ship is. If it all looks the same, then that gets boring.
Yeah,
to me.
I agree.
I know what you mean. If we get a new Earth or a new Venus, something as sizable as those, I'm all for that. That's in terms of spaces to explore. That's enough for the price of admission for me. Along with all the other things that we're getting, all the upgrades.
Yeah, like 40 strikes. So. Well, 4 for PlayStation, 3 for Xbox, and then they're redoing like X number of strikes. I think they said they're redoing like 4 strikes with Taken. So and like a completely redoing like UI pieces. It looks like they might be adding a melee weapon option of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of different changes, it looks like. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, a lot of stuff to be excited about in application. I really want to see some big jumps, but yeah, we'll see how it goes. And you know, one of the big things that people are kind of sad about is the one thing that's closest to a negative, I would say, is that people are saying, okay, well, it's time to say goodbye to Fatebringer, time to say goodbye to Vision of Confluence, all the current legendaries, which, you know, we've gotten so attached to these weapons. There was going to come a point where we had to say goodbye to these because when you
look. But we don't, from what I understand. From what I have read, is that any raid legendaries and exotics are going to have a way to stay, like, at least somewhat relevant.
That'd
be something about, like, some, like, almost like a sacrifice system where you could sacrifice primary weapons to increase the power of another primary weapon or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know all the details. I just saw that, like, I was watching, there was like 20 things about the Taken King from Planet Destiny or something like that. And, it's one of the things that they kind of briefly brushed over.
So. Yeah. No, we've seen things also that we've had no explanation on. You know, we've seen, descriptions of weapons from the Taken King that have attachment slots called relics that we don't even know what those do yet. That could go into play with some of these raid weapons. It could be something that allows them to be ascended to the current Taken King level of the new weapons that we're going to be getting. So that's all possible. Sure, but I mean, I was just under the impression that anything that's legendary is going to be kind of passed on. As, you know, the exotics will be able to increase, as well as, you know, all the cool stuff we get for the new weapons. And there's a lot of cool stuff with the new weapons as well. So there's a lot of opportunity there, but there's always been opportunity with Destiny. So I remain very excited, but, slightly skeptical on, what this game has to offer for year two. So,
yep, I agree.
So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I have for Destiny.
That's it.
All right.
All right. So let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll do our feature, which is the current game of the year and what could possibly knock it off its throne. And then we'll do new releases and talk about it next week and get out of here. So stay with us. And we'll be right back. Welcome back.
You welcome back.
Thank yeah! You. Huh! Today we're talking about Game of the Year in August.
Game of the Year in August.
So far. Game of the... up to this point in the year. Yeah,
game of the half a year.
Game of the now. Game of the 8 months.
So we're reaching for questions of the week, so we figure what the hell is our favorite games.
I like this. We've done this before with pretty good results. So I like this question.
All right.
I have a couple emails.
Okay, then.
So I'm going to go through those first.
They went just to Chris. Personalized to Christopher
Chris,
Riccio.
I would like to speak to you about this game.
They went to Chris, which was email at interactivedistractions.com.
All right.
Yes. So this one is from Authentic Face.
Hey.
Okay.
And he says, so far, Game of the Year pick has to be The Witcher or Rocket League. Rocket League is so much fun. And the game that I put on right before I shut down for the night. Wait. Oh, yeah. Okay. The game I put on right before I shut down for the night. However, Fallout 4 is going to be Game of the Year. I'm calling it now. It's going to be number one. I'm super excited to play this game. PS4, Authentic Face. That's his PSN name.
All right.
So there you go.
Thank you, Authentic Face. I think it's a new writer in our person.
I think so. I believe
sure.
it is.
Hey,
so thank
welcome
you for,
to the party.
Yeah, thank you for writing in. We appreciate that. Rocket
we'll
League and
Fest.
The Witcher are both strong contenders.
Great picks, definitely.
We'll see you at Indisfest 5.
That's right. If I were to do a top 5 list right now of this year, both of those games would be on it.
For sure.
So. All right, I got one more email, and then I know we have some stuff from Jeff's side of the house, and we'll do that.
He has some Twitters. Yep.
He says, hey, Indis crew, before I get to the question of the week, here's a little baby update, and this is from Bender. And he says... I had twins, boys, 11 weeks old now, and I've found that I have no time to play games.
Sucks.
I've tried to play on the PS Vita in between feedings and diaper changes. Swindle, a lot of fun. Too bad it's not cross-buy. Oh, Swindle is a lot
Swindle.
Of fun.
Yeah.
Too bad it's not cross-buy. It is cross-play. It's a bit like Rogue Legacy and Spelunky and Splinter Cell. Maybe a little less like that. On my iPhone, I tried Fallout Shelter, and it was fun, but it was fun for a little bit, but it's too much like work, so I stopped. I've heard that because if you don't keep up with it every day, it starts getting mad at you. So
that's not fun.
On to the it's question
like
of the week.
Wife.
I was heavy into Bloodborne, so that is my game of the year so far before children. Games that could dethrone the blood mess, Metal Gear Phantom Pain and Fallout 4. Thanks for the podcast, guys. I lean heavy on these while I'm doing baby chores. They keep me going. Peace. And that is from
I'm glad
Bender.
That we can substitute your video game habit because you can't sit there and
at W Bender W.
I had no idea Bender had twins recently. I had no clue.
I knew he was having. Congrats, I knew Bender. He was having a child. I didn't realize that they were having twins.
There was two.
Yeah. Well,
I need to meet that guy. He's in Toronto. What the hell
is he?
Bender? Yeah.
Huh.
Yep. Get on your game, Jeff.
Really? Okay.
Jeff, how about you? What do you got?
We got one from Macaulay425.
Hi,
he is Brad Eakins on the Twitters. He says. I haven't played The Witcher yet, so Game of the Year is Batman. Arkham
Knight. All right, that's fair.
I think Fallout or Witcher, but I'm curious about Call of Duty. I love Treyarch. So.
I mean, there's a possibility that Call of Duty can be your Game of the Year, for sure.
Call of Duty.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, it looks pretty good. I mean, I don't do Call of Duty, but it looks pretty good.
Consistently, I mean, even if you're a single player buff, the last two single player storylines have been pretty fantastic for the last couple of.
I really like the last one.
Yeah, it's been really great. Yeah, Black Ops and Advanced have both been really, really stellar in their narrative. So,
that's also Big B Mac on PSN.
Oh, Big B. Hey, what's up? What's up, little guy? How you doing?
Because he has a follow up. He tweeted us in PS Nation. He says, I thought it was more. With like an exclamation point, he has put, and with a screenshot, 912 hours into Destiny.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so there's this new
time wasted on
online.
Or wasted on destiny.com.
Exactly, yeah. Whenever the website works, it can track exactly how much time, and it's including your deleted characters as well. So it includes every single minute.
He doesn't have a single deleted character. That's one character. He's put 970.
No, he's got multiple characters.
He hasn't deleted them though, I guess.
I think he's got all three classes.
Right. And we know people like Johnny is a boy who's played well over 1,000 hours.
That guy plays, I don't understand. That guy is so good at every fucking video game he touches. How does he have the time for all that shit? Like, Rocket League, amazing. Plays Battlefield, amazing. Killzone, amazing.
I got the answer for you. You ready? And Johnny can back me up. He does it. He just does it.
Yeah.
What does he do? He does it. He just
fucking
just
does
do
it,
Jeff. Jeff, if you just fucking did it, just do it.
I can't just do it. I don't have time
just
to
do
just
it.
Do
no,
it.
Make
no, fuck
your
time.
Dreams come true.
That's right. Just do it. Knock it out. Dominate it. That's all you got to do. It's easy. Right. Yeah, just do it. I choose not to do it. Mm-hmm. It's my choice.
And so you
like
choose
a man.
Not to do
it. I choose
like
not
a, like
to do
a man,
it.
So you choose
like a man. I choose not to do it. Just do it, Jeff.
All
right. what else we got?
We got another one from Jeff BTW, Jeff Better Tomorrow. He says, this may be too late. It's not. He's just slacking recently. He says, but my current game of the year is still The Order.
What?
Yep.
You're done.
Have you not played anything since then?
Yeah.
No, we're not going to.
He's played a lot of shit since then. He loves those games that aren't games. He really loves those.
Yeah, Jeff with a J, man. You're not allowed to write it anymore. Like you're done.
It's a good That's game, it. Chris. Finish it. God damn it. It's okay. Well, no, I take back. Good game. It's a good experience.
It's a good movie. It's a good interactive movie.
Go. But he said, I'm sure it'll end up being Fallout 4. So he thinks that one's gonna take the title away from
the top
order.
Prize. What is going to take Game of the Year from The Order, guys? I don't know it. It's a tough cookie.
Yeah. Those are all the ones that came in with the Twitterverse.
All right.
Well, Jeff, Chris... I just read your reply to Game Tropolis. That's awesome. Anybody who wants
it.
To know,
he
might
it.
Not get it.
No.
Anybody who wants to know what we're talking about, go check Jeff's Twitter from today.
Yeah. And his GEOFF.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The wrong way. I think Jeff and I are going to be kind of similar in our game of the year. So, Chris, why don't you kick us off, man? Like, what's so far? What's your game of the year?
I am going to have to say Batman.
Batman.
Oh, wow. Okay,
and it's a toss-up between Batman and Rocket League for me because, Batman is those are the two games that really tore me away from Destiny. And that's kind of what I'm measuring it by now. It's like,
that's
I enjoy
metric.
Playing Destiny, and those two games tore me away from playing Destiny. Witcher got me away for like a few days, and I'm going to go back to it now that I'm pretty much done with Destiny. But in reality, Batman's the one that's like, here, done with Destiny until September, pretty much, unless it's Banner or something like that.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, Batman, and as much as I harp on and nitpick about the Batmobile, it's like that game was still such a fantastic experience. I mean, it was just everything about like traversing the city and, you know, the combat and the changes they made, like, and some of the little touches they made, like with, some of the side missions that they did, like the way that all the side missions kind of pieced together, tracking down one of the other villains, like all of that stuff, it really, really hit me, it really kept my interest, and I think that's why I'm sticking with Batman. And Rocket League's just fucking fun. So, but yeah, I think that's mine. And what's gonna dethrone it? Fucking Fallout's gonna dethrone it. That's all there is to it. I mean, I'll fucking call it right now. In this game of the year, 2015 is gonna be Fallout. So, you know, write that one down.
Possible.
Travis, how about you, man?
So yeah, kicking off with what is my game of the year so far. Like Safar. I said, I think Jeff and I will kind of agree in this section of it is that, man, Bloodborne really when they were explaining how this game was gonna play, as a fan of the Souls games, I was extremely, I had high hopes when it was first announced, but when I explained that it was more of an offensive style game, and with me being so used to playing a Souls game so defensively, I was extremely curious of how this game was going to turn out. And it really blew me away. First of all, seeing a Souls style game for the current generation was, I don't know, man. Like, I've heard, Jason say it's not that good looking. I don't get it. I think the game is gorgeous. I think the game is gorgeous.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely gorgeous, and it's what we wanted for the first iteration on this. And there's obviously more Soul style games that we're going to see on this current generation. At least a couple of more.
Probably see at least two.
Yeah, at least. And they're going to get better and better. Dark Souls 3 looks phenomenal really graphically. So, but going back to Bloodborne, like I said, my, when they said that it's going to be more of an offensive game, you're better off, attacking your ass off. It just seemed kind of weird to me. And, to go through the game and see how it kind of completely changed my viewpoint on the style of game to play, up to the point where it even kind of changed the way I played Dark Souls 2 when the re-release came out.
That was a hard transition for me,
dude. It is a difficult transition for some, but going from playing Dark Souls 2 originally when it first came out, and playing defensively like you're kind of trained to do, I found myself,
going in,
being actually slightly better at Dark Souls 2. I beat 2 on the re-release, the HD re-release, mm-hmm. much faster than I did.
That could be because you knew the game, though.
And that does have something to do with it. But I genuinely saw a difference in the way I played in day to day combat. Mm-hmm. I genuinely saw a difference in it, and that was credited to Bloodborne, because it does kind of open your eyes that, with the correct build, you can really, really do some damage without having to slowly pace yourself and with being defensive. I got more comfortable with parrying. I got, a lot more comfortable with things that I never really jumped into with the Souls series. So, Bloodborne really, really opened my eyes to different ways to play Souls games. It was just such fun to play. It was the most, it's still kind of ambiguous in how the story is, but I think it was me being kind of a story whore. I kind of liked how the story was laid out in Bloodborne a lot more than other Souls games. So it was just the most genuinely best title for me for 2015 so far.
What might top it, dude? What might climb over that mountain?
I would have said Far Cry. I mean, Far Cry. Yeah, Far Cry 5. Far come Cry on at 5. You soon.
Anyway, Far Cry 5 would totally else.
Madden 11. Yeah. Come at you soon.
Madden 2017.
I am excited about Madden this year just because of the fact that I skipped Madden last year. But, Fallout would have been my obvious choice. I'm starting to see some reports about Fallout that are making me kind of wish Fallout would release like middle next year.
Why is that?
But I have no doubt that Fallout's gonna be good. I mean, they said it's been in development for like 4 years or mm-hmm. some sort like that. But I mean, Fallout's gonna be good. But there's something about Fallout that's just kind of making me, I know it'll be good, but game of the year worthy? I don't know, because they're adding a lot of cool stuff into it. But I don't know if it's stuff that I'm gonna embrace. Like the
did we building. Give Fallout 3 game of the year?
I think so.
I don't think
not,
we did. I think it was.
Not,
I think it was
I'm
Uncharted
sure,
2.
If or not, I'm sure it's up there. If it wasn't, it was definitely up there. Like easy top.
It was
3,
definitely in the top 3 for sure.
Yeah.
I just can't remember if we did that god or not.
Man, but regardless, I don't want to be that stereotypical guy, but I really, really have really good feelings about the Taken King. I think
you
that
you can't
it's
give
going
Game of the Year
to
an expansion, dude.
It's not an expansion, man. It's
expansion.
Chris, will you give me the?
No, will you I can't. Give me it's the, an expansion.
It's an expansion.
God damn it!
their words is an expansion.
Fucking Fallout. Yeah.
I'm sorry, dude. I love Destiny, but I'm with Jeff on this one. It's a fucking expansion.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I do think taking
not
the Taken King
two.
Is really going
respect,
to
respect Canadian brother.
Yo,
fist bump through the
bump.
Internet right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Majority rules on that one. If I can't say Taken King, which is my unofficial, you know, dethroner of Bloodborne. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said with Fallout, there's something about it that's just making me somewhat worried about it. I'm gonna say Metal Gear.
Oh then. Shit! Okay.
That's my next really favorite title. I think it's gonna be
pretty close too.
You know, all the great gameplay in like an enhanced gameplay of what we saw from 4 going into 5. It does control better. You know, last week I touched upon that I played Ground Zeroes just to kind of get refamiliarized with how Metal Gear 5 proper is going to play. So I'm really liking it. I had a successful mission in Ground Zero, so I'm ready for 5. The thing that's most exciting about it is that my favorite Metal Gear is the fucking portable one with Peace Walker. Yeah. The base building and the recruiting players, adding that to a console, a full-blown console AAA Metal Gear experience, I'm all for that. I think it's going to be a fantastic addition to the console Metal Gear. So Metal Gear is going to be my game of the year. Calling it. And
like
by the way, this does blow my prediction of Witcher 3 being the Indus game of the year. Just throwing it out there. I know I'm going to lose that prediction.
Yeah, whatever.
Great game, though.
Can't force it. Right now my game of the year is probably hands down Bloodborne. It's, that made me get interested in the Souls games, and I went and played Dark Souls 2. For a shitload of time. I still haven't beat it yet, but I put a lot of time into that fucking thing.
You should go back into it, man. Whenever there's a lull, like, definitely go back into it.
Yeah, I'm like right at the end, apparently. Literally like right at the end, but I haven't touched on the DLC stuff. Close behind that's Ori, and then it's like a three-way tie between Batman, Witcher 3, and Rocket League. Batman still has some things that bug me about it that I can't give it like an overall like game of the year at this point. I'll revisit it for sure. It was amazing.
Right.
But if I can't call it the best Batman game I've ever played, I don't know if I can be able to give that my game of the year.
Yeah, and that's, I'm fighting with myself about that. But at the same time, it's like, is there anything I've played this year that's better than Batman to me?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's kind of what it boils down to.
Yeah. Ori's just fucking awesome. It's almost, it's like the Shadow Complex of this generation as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Witcher, I'm still kicking away at, but I'm not addicted to it. So I'm still enjoying playing it, which is crazy. This game came out when? Like 2 months ago?
More than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and usually I'm either done with the game, like beat it in like a few weeks, or if I'm just lose interest in it, I just stop playing it. But I'm still playing this. Like every other day, I will bust out a couple of missions, a couple of quests in it, and keep going. So we'll see about that. And Rocket League, I just need to put more time into it, but it's fun as shit. So that can be like, that can be a dark horse to take it.
Yeah, I really had a good time when, you know, it was me, you, and Jason in the same room. That was
that was awesome.
With Omer and yeah.
We had like a rotating room of like 6 to 8 people every like, it was awesome. That was fun.
It was good stuff, man. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
And then what will take it over? Obviously Fallout 4 could possibly do it, and the other one is Tomb Raider. I mean, that was my number 3, I think, of my games of the generation last generation. So we'll see how that turns out. But it might have been my number 2. I can't fucking remember now. I don't remember one Street Fighter.
It was up there.
It was either DMC or Tomb Raider. I can't remember which one it was. Either Tomb Raider or probably Fallout. I would like to say Halo 5, probably not. As much as I love Halo, it's never gotten game of the year for me, like any time a Halo's ever come out. So I know it'll be up there at the end of the year, but I don't think it's gonna rival for my overall game of the year. So yeah. Probably one of those two. Fallout or Tomb Raider. Rise of Tomb Raider.
Very cool.
But right now, Bloodborne, like hands down.
Man, it was so good.
It's such a good game. Such a great game.
It was so
great
good.
Game. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Should we continue?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
that's pretty much it. We wrapped that one up. So it seems like it's
it releases.
The big ones are going to be Fallout, Metal Gear, and possibly Tomb Raider. So possibly. From our side. Yeah, so new releases, not a lot, but there's some interesting titles next week. Everybody's gone to Rapture. It's coming for PS4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Goat Simulator is coming for PS4 and PS3 mm-hmm. via PSN. X-Blaze Lost Memories is coming to PS3 and Vita. Celestian Tales Old North is coming to PC. Actual Sunlight is coming to PlayStation Vita. Gunstar Heroes is hitting the 3DS, apparently.
Holy shit. I can't believe it's taken that long.
The Talos Principle is coming for PS4. Fallout Shelter is hitting for Android. A couple of others that are on a different list that I found. Toy Soldiers War Chest is apparently coming out next week for both PS4 and Xbox One. Paddington Adventures in London is coming out for the 3DS. And so is Garfield Kart. And Garfield Kart is published by Square Enix. Just so you know.
They're getting what they can get. They're trying to get as much money to fund these Final Fantasy fucking games, man.
That's right. So pick of the week.
Everybody's gone to the Rapture. Are there Goat prices? Simulator. Are there prices on your new releases?
Not on those because they're digital. So I would assume that would be either 14 or 19.
God, see, $14.99 maybe on Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, but I just, you know, I enjoyed Ethan Carter, but to spend $20 on that experience, I just, you know, when you get Gone Home for like $8, it just seems worth it. You know, that's what made Gone Home so good of a game is that there wasn't that much of an investment. But $20, and it seems like Everybody's Gone to the Rapture is going to be a very similar experience to Ethan Carter. And I just don't know if I can spend that much money on this game. It's my pick of the week, but man, for
you know, yeah, it's like it's just whatever it's game you would buy, regardless. Just,
it's going to be $20.
What's the most you're interested in? I guess.
It's going to be $20. It comes out on the 11th, and for PS Plus members, it's $16.
$16. I mean, I'll probably buy it, but I mean, I don't know.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going with Goat Simulator. That
I'm going with Goat Simulator
shit.
Too, dude.
Yeah. I watched Captain Harlock had his one of his daughters streaming that like a few days ago on Xbox, and I was just watching it. I'm like, this is so stupid, but looks really dumb fun.
I know.
It's really dumb. It's really stupid and dumb, but it looks ridiculous.
I don't see a price on that one though, so
we'll, I think it's we'll like $10, $15, $10.
I'll buy
I think
that.
It's like 10.
See,
I'll
now
buy
that's,
that.
A that's a game. That's $10, a game. That's a video game.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. That's mine too, Goat Simulator. So good stuff.
All right.
Cool. Well, we do not have a question of the week for next week, do we?
No, we don't, because we forgot to discuss that on break, like usual.
Like usual.
Honestly, guys, if you guys are listening, if you guys want to talk about anything, doesn't fucking matter, write in suggestions to what you guys want to talk about during our future.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah,
go for it.
Yep.
And we'll be like, yeah, sure, why the hell not?
Or just
it's the dog days of summer. Not much is going on.
Email in random bullshit. We don't care. We like random bullshit too. So.
Yeah. How was your poo yesterday? Yeah.
Let's not go that far. Keep your bodily functions to yourself. But
I'm just trying to spark conversation, baby.
To contact us, you can get us by email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can get us by voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337.
Numbers.
Check us out. On Twitter, we are in interactive. I'm sorry, we are at Indus Podcast,
yep.
Or Indus Questions. You can get us there too. Individually, we are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
It's G E O F F.
Geoff.
Our actual Indus Interactive Distractions Twitter's been pretty dead for like 4 years.
It kind of has been, yeah. That's
true. Yeah, we don't really use it much.
No,
but
we do use Indus
anyway,
Questions quite a bit. So.
We do, yes. Yeah.
What do we have for the title on that one? Indus Business.
That's Indus
like
Business.
Indus Business.
Yeah.
Check us out on Facebook, Google Plus, Stitcher, Steam, and Twitch. I'm throwing Twitch in there too. Cause I think I'm going to start, using the PS4 streaming feature a little bit more.
Yeah.
Cause why not?
Cool.
Why not?
Exactly. Search for interactive distractions and you will find us.
And when I do get, I'm sorry, Chris, but when I do get a capture card, hopefully my birthday is coming up soon. But when
I ain't
the
buying this shit.
When hopefully if that happens, an Elgato capture card will be in my future, and we will be actually doing some interactive distractions, legit video content. That's the dream right now. So we'll see how we'll see how that goes.
We will see.
So yeah, please continue.
Right.
That's it. So you guys have anything else before we wrap up and get out of here?
Nope.
I don't either.
Sure.
Oh, okay, actually, then. I do. So real quick, I know that we're all pretty
Indus Fest 5.
We're all pretty big fans announcing of Netflix originals, right? Mm-hmm. Like, sure. I don't know which ones you've watched. I've watched.
Orange
Daredevil,
is the New Black.
And that's pretty
Daredevil,
much it.
Daredevil's great.
But there's another one called Scene 8.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
We just
Sense8.
Started watching.
Sense8.
You might be right.
Yeah,
I might have just misread it.
It's not bad.
It's interesting. We've only watched one episode so far, and that first episode is a little hard to keep up, but it's kind of intriguing to figure out what's happening next. So, mm-hmm. And it's very, like, it's almost like brain teasery, which is something that Crystal and I get a kick out of when we watch TV together. So we're kind of digging it. So I figured I'd just throw that out there.
Cool.
Sure.
That's it. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Stitcher, leave us a review. We'd appreciate that. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
I'm
Jeff.
Play your game. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Deuces.
Toodles.